ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 16. Koba Bhagavata Stasyam Punya Shloke Dhyakarmanam Shudhikamo na shunya Yasha kali malapaham Kova bhagavata stasyam Punya shloke dhyaharmanam Shudhikamo na shunya Yasha kali malapaham Koba bhagavata stasyam Punya shloke dhyakarmanam Shudhikamo na shunyat Yasha kali malapaham Anyone else? All right. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Kam Hu Vam Radhur sorry Bhagavatam of the Lord Tasyam His Punyam Vichars Shloka Idyam worshipable by prayers Karmanam deeds, Shuddhi Kamam, desiring deliverance from all sins, Nam, not, Shrunyat, Shrunyat, does hear, Yasham, glories, Kali, of the age of quarrel. Mala apaham, the agent for sanctification. Translation: who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? Purport: the age of Kali is the most condemned age due to its quarrelsome features. Kali Yuga is so saturated with vicious habits that there is a great fight at the slightest misunderstanding. Those who are engaged in the pure devotional service of the Lord, who are without any desire for self-aggrandizement, and who are freed from the effects of fruitive actions and dry philosophical speculations, are capable of getting out of the estrangements of the this complicated age. The leaders of the people are very much anxious to live in peace and friendship, but they have no information of the simple method of hearing the glories of the Lord. On the contrary, such leaders are opposed to the propagation of the glories of the Lord. In other words, the foolish leaders want to completely deny the existence of the Lord. In the name of the secular state, such leaders are enacting various plans every year. But by the insurmountable intricacies of the material nature of the Lord, all these plans for progress are being constantly frustrated. They have no eyes to see that their attempts at peace and friendship are failing. But here is the hint to get over the hurdle. If we want actual peace, we must open the road to understanding of the Supreme Lord Krishna and glorify Him for His virtuous activities as they are depicted in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kova Bhagavatastasya Punya Shlokedya Karmana Shudikamo Nashunyan Yashakali Malapaham. Who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Mulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpatru Bhyacha Kripasi Nubeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So we have a continuation of discussion as we have heard in previous verses, the sages of Naimisharanya, they inquiring from Sutta Goswami to tell them and inform them basically what is the best thing that he have learned from the previous spiritual masters. And one very interesting point that was mentioned in the verse 13, basically they said, O Sutta Goswami, we are eager Just like Mother Radhakrishnan was telling us this morning, one has to be longing to hear the message of the Lord. So in a similar way, they have the same attitude. They're saying we are eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and his incarnations. Please explain to us these teachings imparted by previous masters, acharyas. And then they say one really important thing here. It says, for one is uplifted both by speaking and also by hearing. So basically both persons benefit. One who is speaking, narrating the glories of the Lord, and also one who is listening. So in this verse today that we are discussing, basically I wanted to focus on four particular points mentioned in this verse. And the first one is, it says, the age of Kali is the most condemned age due to its quarrelsome features. People are continuously eager to quarrel, argue, find so many reasons, why, there is injustice upon them. So that is the nature of the age of Kali. And then it says, it is saturated with vicious habits. So, vicious habits, so that there is a great fight at the slightest misunderstanding. So, I find it really interesting that Prabhupada uses word habits rather than, saying, he's not saying that people are bad or anything like that. He's just saying that people have really bad habits. So, with that in mind, we should be aware that habits are something that could change, basically, depending on our cultivation of knowledge, we can actually change from bad habits to good habits. So that is the good news. And then it says, those who are engaged in devotional service without desire for self-aggrandizement, free from effects of fruitive actions and dry philosophical speculation, are capable of getting out of this complicated age. So that is the qualification. So now we find out what is the quality necessary for one who wants to get out of this complicated age. And why is that so, that the devotee is the only one that can escape basically the suffering in this material world? Well, we find really clear explanation in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the famous verse in Madhya Lila. It says, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ata Eva Shanta Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashanta. So the devotee, he is peaceful all the time because he is desireless. And how is he desireless? Well, it doesn't mean that he has no desires. It doesn't mean that he's just like a rock and has no feelings, emotions, desires. No. The point is that his desires are in harmony with the Lord's desires. Whatever he desires is connected to devotional service and pleasing the Lord. So with that kind of consciousness, one can be peaceful. And then the third point we find here, Prabhupada is saying in a purport, leaders of the people are much anxious to live in peace and friendship, but they oppose propagation of the glories of the Lord. So Prabhupada is making point, you want peace, and there is a saying, people want Ram Raj, the kingdom of Lord Ram, but without Ram. And it just doesn't work. It doesn't go together. So if we want peace, either individually or collectively in society, we do have to understand that Krishna must be in the center. There's no other way around. So Prabhupada often would quote his famous peace formula. Peace formula? It is a famous verse from Gita. And it says, Bhaktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram sukhidam sarva bhutanam jantvamam shantim richati. So this is the peace formula. Prabhupada would quite often quote this verse, and he would say basically, one who understands the three points mentioned in this verse, and what are these three points? First, that the Lord is the benefactor of all sacrifices. And then second, he is a supreme controller, Ishvara, of all the creation. He is the controller, supreme controller. And then the third one, he is a friend of all living entities, Sukhridam Sarvabhutanam. So Prabhupada would say that one who understands these three points basically can be peaceful. So I wanted to tell you a few examples that kind of depict these points that we just mentioned. And the interesting thing that we find in this verse, basically this verse is spoken as a question. You know, some of the verses are in a more narrative form, but this verse is particularly stating a question. It's posing a question to us. And what is it saying? It is saying, who is there desiring deliverance from this terrible age of Kali that is not willing to hear? And the keyword is here, you know, highlight that. So it's kind of like, you know, who is there that doesn't like vanilla ice cream? You know, you would think like everybody likes ice cream, you know. It's so tasty, delicious, cooling. So in the similar, you know, format here, we find the sages of Naimisharanya are kind of like pondering on, you know, I mean, is there, you know, any fool in this creation that would not want to hear about Lord's pastimes? And yeah, there is, you know, there is one right here sitting. So yeah, we have to understand we are foolish because we are not really putting our full effort to engage. I'm just speaking about myself. In a hearing process. So fortunately we have this wonderful month of Kartik where we can actually put more time, more dedication and more effort in hearing the Lord's pastimes. So like I said, I wanted to give you a few examples that depict how eager the pure devotee is to hear about the Lord's pastimes. So the first one is related to the Pandavas. After Maharaj Yudhishthira was cheated badly in the gambling match, as we know, Pandavas were exiled into the forest. And after living in the forest for a while, you know, at one point Maharaj Yudhishthira was kind of contemplating how they're gonna ever be able to recover their kingdom. And Bhima was always kind of like, you know, a little bit, you know, poking Maharaj Yudhishthira, you know, with the sharp words and saying, you know, we wouldn't be here if you didn't gamble, you know, everything. Of course, he had a good intention, but he was just kind of like instigating that, you know, quest and, you know, question how they're going to actually recover their position. So Bhima would say, as soon as you return, Shakuni will challenge you again for a gambling match. And you know you're not good in that art. So, you know, what a chance there is. My brother, if you just order me, I will go and single-handedly crush all the sons of Duryodhana and you know, recover our rightful position. So as they were discussing like that, you know, Maharaj Yudhishthira, he understood that Bhima is correct. And right at that time, Srila Vyasadeva appeared. And Srila Vyasadeva, he was always, you know, very kind to Pandavas. And he told him, my dear Yudhishthira, I will give you mantra that is capable of basically enabling one to travel with the really high speeds to any destination you want to go. You should give that mantra later to Arjun and send him to the heavens. He should beg for the weapons of the devatas, powerful demigods like Indra, Lord Shiva. And with those weapons, you Pandavas will be able to defeat the evil sons of Dhritarashtra. So he kind of took Yudhishthira aside and he secretly whispered mantra to him. The mantras are called pretty... I forgot. Let's see what they're called. Pratismriti mantras. So anyhow, a short while after that meeting with Shri Vyasadeva, one day, and Yudhishthira really was kind of sad to do that because he loved Arjuna so much and he couldn't even bear the thought of separation from him. But he realized that was the only chance they have. So one day finally he realized, I have to send Arjuna to the heavens. And he didn't even know if he will be ever return. You know, it's not like going to Gainesville and coming back. Heavens are far, far away. So one day he took him aside and he told him, my dear brother, the four sections of military science are all with Bhishma, Drona, Ashwatthama, Kripa. All these great warriors are so powerful and we know once we return they will be on Duryodhana's side. Our only hope and our only chance is basically if you obtain the weapons from the devatas. So Yudhishthira instructed the mantra to Arjuna, and as soon as he was capable of reciting that mantra, he decided to go to the heavens. He started going to the Himalayas. And it's explained he was traveling pretty much with the speed of mind, empowered by that mantra. So after Arjuna left, basically Pandavas were kind of like, in very, very sad situation. First, due to separation from their beloved brother Arjuna. And second, because they were so much in anxiety, they didn't even know if, when and if he will ever return. So they decided to go to the pilgrimage, and they decided to go also towards Himalayas. As they were going there, it's explained the path was very, very treacherous, going up Himalayas. There's, very, very steep mountain peaks and snow, and it is really tough to reach. Badrik Ashram is that's where they're going to. But eventually they arrived there. And up with the help of Ghatotkach. Now, some of you may know who Ghatotkach is. He's powerful Rakshasa. He's the son of Bhimasen, actually. Even though he's Rakshasa, he's actually great, great personality that later helps Pandavas in a fight. So they arrive in the Badrik Ashram, and they finally settle down. And after 6 days, basically staying in the ashram, on the seventh day, it's interesting to also note that Badrik Ashram is described as a very beautiful place. It's not like, when you think about, Himalayas, you think about, deep snow and freezing. But actually, the scenery was explained like really, really beautiful. Beautiful trees, birds, and, flowers. So on the seventh day in the morning, the wind blew beautiful golden like a lotus. And Draupadi picked the lotus and she smelled it. And it smelled like a soul, like something really, like you never smelled before. So she said, "Oh Bhimasen, just look at this beautiful flower. It is so amazing." And feminine nature is such, they appreciate beautiful things. So she said, "Oh Bhima, please go and find more of these kind of flowers. I wish to take them with us to our hermitage in Kamyaka forest." And she just looked on Bhimasen with her beautiful eyes, and it's explained that was enough for Bhima. it was as if he was commanded, like he immediately jumped and started running. And out of affection for Draupadi, Bhima was very much aware how much he suffered due to the insults of Duryodhana and his brothers. So he wanted to do something really amazing to please her. And this was perfect chance, perfect opportunity for him to do something amazing for her. So he started running up the mountain, you know, following the cool breeze where flower came from. He was running. And he was so much, you know, in a passionate mood, you know, and it's described basically all the creatures were running away from him. Like even big elephants, he would just push them aside. And Bhimasen, you know how powerful he is? Who knows? Anybody? Yeah. 10,000 elephants. Can you imagine that? This morning I was kind of wondering, you know, my mind sometimes goes like that. I was thinking like 10,000 elephants. If every elephant you lined up together, you know, 10,000 elephants all together, and estimate each one is about 8 feet in diameter. I'm kind of speculating there. But just imagine, so 10,000 times 8 feet, that's 80,000 feet. It pretty much translates to about 15 miles. So just imagine a line of 15 miles lined up with elephants. What a powerful force that is. So Bhimasen has that force. He's so powerful. So anyhow, so Bhimasen is running up the mountain, and it's explained in Mahabharata, like even some, you know, ferocious animals, they wanted to attack him, like lions, and, you know, he would just slap them like, you know, like little kittens, you know, poof. So powerful he is. And as he is climbing the mountain, all of a sudden, actually first, you know, before he came to the point that I wanted to discuss, at one point he saw the birds, you know, aquatic birds, you know, kind of in a fear of him, they start like running and flying. So he realized there is some lake nearby. So he goes to the lake and he jumps and kind of refreshes himself, you know, takes a little swim and he's all refreshed and he sees the lotuses, but they're not the same ones. Not the same one that Draupadi wanted. So what to do? He has to keep going. Anyhow, so he keeps going, and then all of a sudden he hears some amazing, like, you know, ferocious sound. It's, I mean, you know, just imagine powerful Bhima, but this sound was so terrifying that even his hair was standing on the end. And he was wondering, what is this? And as he got closer to the source of that sound, imagine what he saw on the road, on the path. He saw monkey lying on the path. And he was wondering, hey, what, you know, this doesn't make sense. Like, you know, is this monkey making this terrifying sound? Like, you know, looks like, you know, he was kind of bewildered by the scene. So as he was approaching, you know, Bhima roared, you know, powerful roar. And he was thinking like he's going to scare the monkey, so the monkey will move and he can keep going. He didn't really think that, you know, this is going to be an obstacle for him. But monkey just kind of like, you know, was lying on the ground and was, you know, just kind of in a lazy way, looked a little bit, you know, like this. And just, you know, like, you know, just kind of look, you know, didn't really you know, give much attention to Bhima as he was expecting he would get. So Bhima said, "Who are you? And what are you doing here?" And the monkey just looked and said, "Oh, I'm just a simple monkey. And who are you? You as a human should know the codes of religion. But I see you came to this place disturbing all the living beings. You know, what kind of etiquette is this?" So Bhima looked at him like, what is this monkey talking like? He's talking like, you know, about religion. Like, he didn't really expect such wisdom from the monkey. And he kind of looked at him again. "Move off my way," he was kind of commanding to him. The monkeys just kind of again looked in a lazy way. Oh, I'm too old and ill. I can't move. And beside that, you should know as a human, you cannot go further. So just go back. This region is only for celestial beings. You humans, you don't belong here. And Bhima became angry. And he kind of like, you know, started, you know, yelling, you better move, otherwise I will crush you with my powerful arms. And monkey just said, do as you wish. But, you know, I suggest you don't force your way up to this point because, you know, you humans don't belong to this region. So you should not, you know, find your end at this place. But if you wish, you can stay here with me for a while, take some fruits and, you know, you know, relax a little bit and then go back home. And Bhima was so angry. And he said, I will, you know, crush you today. You better move right now. And monkey said, well, if you really must go, just jump over me. And Bhima looked and he said, well, if I'm not aware of the super soul in the hearts of living of all living beings, I would definitely jump over you just as Hanuman jumped the ocean. And then the monkey looked at him and said, who is that Hanuman? Who are you talking about? And Bhima said, Bhima kind of started, you know, a little bit deep thinking at this point. And he started wondering, could this be Hanuman? I mean, it's impossible. Hanuman lived like a million years ago. I mean, what chance that this could be Hanuman? So he didn't really, you know, he kind of put that thought aside. And he said, oh, monkey, you better move right now or our conversation will end right here. And the monkey said, well, if you really have to go, you really have such urge to pass, you know, on this path, then just lift my tail, put it aside, and keep going. And the monkey just, you know, kept flying down. So Bhima kind of thought for a second and said, okay, well, I don't want to hurt him, but, you know, at the same time, I can't jump over him. And you can see also the other point here. You would think Bhima, you know, powerful, you know, warrior, you know, he would just like disregard, you know, the other creatures, but he was actually pure devotee, so Krishna conscious that he didn't want to make offense by jumping over this creature. So he went to the monkey's tail, and with one arm, he kind of wanted to lift it, and he kind of pulled it, and he couldn't do it. Then he tried with both hands. And he kind of pulled with all his force, but he couldn't even budge even 1 inch. Can you imagine? All that force was useless at this point. And then he kind of realized, this must be Hanuman. Who else? And he humbly offered his obeisance, and then Hanuman revealed his identity. So we are kind of running out of time. But imagine what happened at that point. So we know what was the mission of Bhima. He wanted to go and find the flowers for his wife. But at this point, actually, they go on discussing Ramkatha. And that is the point I'm trying to make. So when two devotees, they meet, even if there is some disagreement, everything gets reconciled due to Krishna consciousness. And pure devotees, they find pleasure in jointly discussing pastimes of the Lord. So I'll stop here. There is much more to tell about this wonderful pastime. But I just wanted to urge all of you to please take extra time and, you know, in your day, you know, even if it's 10 minutes when you go before you go to sleep, and just try to read about Krishna's pastimes. So I will stop here. Thank you so much. If anybody would like to make any comment, any question, any critics, please do so. Oh, yes. Vada Mohanprabhu.
You left us hanging there. Did they get the lotus flowers and come back? Or
he did. He did. The story goes on, and it's a wonderful story. When I started reading it, I just can't stop. But it is described basically, after he left from Hanuman. Hanuman told him actually where the actual lake where those special lotus flowers are. And the lake belongs to Kovera, the treasure of the demigods. So it's guarded by powerful yakshas and rakshasas. And Hanuman warned Bhima, don't force your way there. You should not offend celestial beings. Without permission of Kovera, you shouldn't really go and steal the flowers. But anyhow, the story goes on. Basically, Bhima keeps going. And finally, as Hanuman instructed him, he finds the lake. And as he arrives there, there's powerful warriors guarding the lake. But, Bhima, he doesn't really care. he just, goes there and, he basically tells them, I need flower for my wife. And the guards, they tell him, no, you can't do this without permission of Kovera. But Bhima's thought was, and it's described that he said, basically, Kuvera did not create this lake, neither he created the lotus flowers. They belong to Supreme. And therefore, everybody has right to basically enjoy it. And beside that, he knew that Draupadi would, of course, offer flower to Krishna first, and then, share with Pandavas. So with that attitude, Bhima didn't really feel any reluctance in fighting, and he defeated all the yakshas and he picked the flowers, and it's a wonderful pastime. But I especially love the meeting of Hanuman and Bhimasen. Anything else? If not, thank you so much. Garantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Kartik Vrata Ki Jai.